is hard as hell. United, Tottenham, Arsenal. Watch my lips and I will spell, cause they don't just play, but they can rap as well.
And yes, we are back. It's your Anfield South boys back in the building, like our number four, back for the season. Come on, it's me, your boy Slim, as always, back at it. And I've missed you guys, man. Got Bayesian Bruce in the building. What are you saying, my brother?
I'm good. Yourself?
Yeah, man. Happy to be here talking football again. Pastor Stu, what are you telling me, man?
I'm good. As you said, back like our number four for season number four. So
yeah, come on. Come on. And of course, everybody knows, I've been saying it and I'm going to keep saying it. The man I couldn't do without on this podcast. The myth, the legend, Engineer Sam in the building.
I'm back. I had to come back when you bought this for me. So I appreciate the love, bro.
Come on, it's the only pennies you're going to get out of my pocket. You know what I mean? Anyway, guys, new season, different story. Today's game, Norwich away. Well, I should say same story, really, with that fixture. Ran out 3-0 winners. Comfortable in the end, wasn't it, Pastor Stu?
Yeah, that was comfortable. It was one of those games, first game of the season. Not really about the performance, about getting those points on the board, not falling that behind the other teams straight away. So, yeah, job done.
You mean not doing an Arsenal?
Yeah.
Do we need an Arsenal segment at the end of every pod, like just to commemorate about how bad they are?
What, like TalkSport used to do on their Drive Time show,
you know?
The Daily Arsenal? Nah, let's not even give them the airplay. Do you know what, yeah, Bayesian Bruce? I was thinking as I was watching that game, yeah? Do you know, it wasn't even just watching that game. Last night on Sky Sports, they did a thing on Man City's Premier League win last season. And it just reminded me how sluggish that City started last season. But they obviously picked up. And then that sort of coincided with our dip. Hence why we finished how we finished and where we finished. Would you prefer a sluggish start to a fast start and having the dip now as opposed to possibly a dip in the middle of the season where it probably could hurt us more?
No, I'd rather you get off to a good start. I think a good start in any case is the best way. It's the best footing, really. It builds confidence and everything else. Because the problem being is when you're looking at the pack and you're chasing, it's actually quite mad. And if it was just lucky, really, for them, how the season went. Because everyone above them kind of faltered anyway. But had it been a case where everyone just kicked into gear and was going, it'd have been tough. So no, personally for me, give me the good start and try and build momentum from that, really.
How would you class today's performance though, Sam? Would you say today's performance was out of the blocks or was it a little bit sluggish?
Do you know what? I've been excited just to get ball back, real ball. Because for me, last season didn't happen, innit? It was nominally, it was a myth. It was just, forget about it. So I was always going to be overexcited about this performance, regardless of how good or ordinary we were. But it was professional, and at times it looked like we were just going through the gears, but not actually changing gear. So at any given time, we really should have won that game 5 or 6 nil. But to start with that sort of level, you can see some players were blowing towards the end. Shout out to Tsimikas because he was finished at about 75. It was just enough to get me a little bit excited, a bit more, and to know that there's a lot more to come. Bearing in mind, it is Norwich, it is a promoted team, but we've just done the business and brushed them aside. And so, yeah, I'm happy, man. I'm happy.
We're going to get on to some individual performances in a bit, but oh my days, I literally just lost my chain of thought as I was saying that. That's crazy. I hate when that happens. Let's talk about Tsimikas then until I can remember what I was going to say to you. Obviously, he only got 6 minutes worth of first team football last season. Not new to the side, but new to the first team. Stu, how would you rate his performance
I thought he did well in fits and starts. Like, he wasn't outstanding. He wasn't rubbish. He put in a performance where you thought, okay, better than playing Milner at left back, but we're also he put in some decent crosses, so we're not going to miss that from losing Robertson. So I thought he did well, all in all, considering, as you say, it's his first team start.
Do you think defensively, Bejan Brucey's got a little bit more to learn? I personally thought he was a little bit slow defense. Yeah, defensively. Yeah, when I say slow in the mind.
Yeah,
but
I would kind of second with what Stu said, in the sense that overall he did okay, but yeah, defensively there was a point where, and it was so nice to see. You see, I'm smiling because Virgil is back. and he made a mistake in that first half. I think it was against Camp. Is it Campwell?
Yeah. Who might add is a great player.
Yeah, and he kind of, and you, any other time, what you would have probably got, how our defence was before, if that was a young Williams, he might have come running over, and then Campwell just does a little nudge and knocks it ball around him. Now all of a sudden two defenders are out of the game and they're in. But Virgil's just like, said, listen, just relax, bro. Chill out. And just things. So obviously, in the second half, he did another little madness, lapse of concentration. But he can put a decent ball in. I've seen that today a couple of times. He didn't fluff his lines on another one, but I'll let him off for that.
I'll say that.
I think attacking.
I'll say that second mistake. Second mistake earned him a slap around the head from Milner as well.
yeah. It was wild. It was wild. It was like, to turn off like that, it was insane. Like, he turned off badly there, yeah. Man.
I think attacking wise,
sorry,
we've got nothing to worry about with Tsimikas.
Nah.
Or Simi, as some of the boys like to call him. Going forward, I think he's definitely got it, and you could see his athleticism. But I think defensively, he hasn't got a patch on what Robo brings us defensively. And of course, Virgil's just back from injury, probably a little bit sluggish himself, so his covering of that left back position is probably not what it should be. But yeah, I think there's more to come from little Simi, as I'm calling him. You know what I mean? I think he'll grow. I think right now Robertson's shadow is still over his shoulder, still looming large, you know what I'm saying? So he's probably trying a bit too hard. But as we're talking about performances, how would you assess Virgil's comeback then, Sam?
Silky smooth without being tested. I think this was the perfect game to bring him back, purely because Klopp knew that there were not no tricky, speedy forwards around him. He wasn't going to get turned. They weren't going to have much of the ball in attacking areas. And whatever was going to come in, we'd have enough aerially as well to deal with Pookie. So I think it was a good introduction. I was saying to Kieran, actually, if we were playing a top 16, I actually don't think he would have started it today. Because that level of performance that you'd have to bring in for against a serious team might have been too much in the first game back. He was smooth throughout. There was one moment towards the end of the game when it was over on the left wing, it was about 85 minutes, and he was ahead to make it before the Norwich attacker was substituted. It was fresh, just come on. And he was blowing a little bit to get there, and he was trying to get his second wind. Normally, he would have just sprinted over and cleared the guy out and cleared the ball. But he stepped off a little bit, and it was almost just showing me he wasn't completely sure of himself yet. And those are the kind of things that I don't mind seeing now in a game like Norwich when the game was already won. So for what he had to do, he done it perfectly, made no mistakes. And so I'm happy he's got 90 minutes under his belt. That's all we can ask for, really.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there when you said about the game, the type of game that he's come into. I think it definitely was perfect for him. So yeah, good. Yeah, you said good to see him get 90 minutes in the tank. Bejan Bruce, is there a change in emphasis from Liverpool? Because if you look at the possession stats, it was kind of 50-50, whereas last season we were a possession-based team, so we'd have a lot more of the ball. Granted, we didn't do a lot with it at points in the season, but the possession was still quite high. Do you think that was a conscious thing from Klopp, or was it just the way Norwich turned up?
I think it was the way the game was played. But you know what? I think maybe there's a possibility that now we're looking at it as in, like, if the other team has the ball, yeah, they ain't really doing nothing and penetrating, then it's not really that deep. Because what would kill me is having all that possession and actually not having any shots or nothing on. Mm. Whereas in today, I thought it was, once we got that second goal, the game kind of went into its own, like, innit? But I think it was all right. That's fine to me. I didn't feel at any stage, I didn't feel really, really shaky or anything throughout. So, yeah.
It's just I'm looking
with certain games. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I'm just trying to look for if there's any differences in our play tonight. I mean, I know it's only one game in, but I'm just trying to see if there's any difference in the way we're approaching games to last season. If there's any new ideas, if you can, do you see what I mean?
But you know what I was going to say. I mean, I don't want to go that kind of control the thing here, but the midfield for me was a big thing. Like, because by having the midfield that we started with to what we then finished with, I think that kind of changed the way the game would go. And I thought it would be, because just looking at that midfield, I wasn't really happy with it, if I'm honest, at the beginning.
Would you class that midfield as a more attacking midfield, Stu? Because obviously we started with Ox and Naby Keita in there and Milner. Would you say that was a more attacking midfield than your usual Henderson, Fabinho, maybe a Thiago?
I'd probably say on paper it is a more attacking midfield, but today it didn't do anything. It didn't attack. So, no, like, point. Just backing up what Bruce said as well, like, when Fabinho comes on, that looked like last season's midfield, where you've got people, where you've got the midfielders pressing. We didn't have that at all when Ox and Keita were on.
But this is what I'm saying about a change in emphasis. I mean, you look, a lot of times last season, yeah, we were going up against these so-called smaller teams, yeah? And I don't know about you lot, but I was definitely screaming for a more attacking midfield, yeah? Because you're thinking it's Norwich or it's whoever, like, let's go and attack them. So don't you think maybe our cries have been heard and he's gone with that more attacking midfield because it's who it is?
Slim,
I
don't think he did. It just looks like he did on paper. This kind of reverts back to what we spoke about in the group about how our number eights play. I feel bad for Ox. He's worked his way into the team, yeah, been brilliant pre-season, and then he's got into the team and he's been stuck there in that eight role which doesn't do anything but carry water and doesn't carry any threat. He's an attacking midfielder, but he doesn't really have the emphasis to attack. I think he had one opportunity to drive with the ball. And when he did that, he could have taken a couple steps forward and had a shot or slide it through to Mane. And he slid it through. No, sorry, to Salah. He slid it through, but it was, wasn't enough weight on the pass. Apart from that, the game kind of passed him by because that's what they do as their eights. They just carry water. The only difference I saw was when Harvey came on, because obviously, naturally, he's more offensive. And maybe he's got a little bit of that youth in him still where he's not as disciplined as these senior pros who kind of just stay there and sit off. On paper, it looked great. But I didn't see anything attacking-wise from our number eights, to be honest.
Are we being harsh? Because obviously, like I said, it's the first game of the season. It's more of a ticking box exercise than anything else. I mean, yeah, you would love the fire performance, but it's the first game of the season.
Looking for little nuggets of inspiration, bro. And I didn't see them today. I didn't see no real changes, you know.
Also, I think
changes in
approach from the midfield. I saw that we had Virgil back, we had Matip back, so the diagonal was there, was on a lot. And last season, we never really had that because no one could play that ball. But that goes back to two seasons ago. We've always had that. What did you see that you thought potentially there's something there different from the midfield? Because I didn't see it.
To be honest with you, I quite liked Naby Keita in the midfield. I thought he worked hard. I think it's really difficult, like, to be really critical of anybody today because, like I said, the first game of the season, Norwich, it wasn't like a usual bottom team performance where they're parking the bus and we had all of the ball and we had all the possession and you're looking for someone to do something. Norwich actually had a good fair share of the ball and they actually were trying to create passes. They were actually playing football. This is what was said yesterday about the Arsenal-Brentford game. These teams that are coming up, they're not just sitting anymore. They're playing football. So I think it's harsh to judge them, but I did like Naby Keita. I did like when he was getting on the ball, the way he was pressing. You know, he was trying to make things happen. I think he was the only one in there that could make anything happen today. like you said, I think the game did pass Ox by a little bit. Millie's Millie, do you know what I mean? He's just obligatory yellow card, you know what I mean? But yeah, I wasn't overly impressed by Keita, but I was like, okay, if you're going to carry on in this vein, I could see good things coming, but we've been saying that for a few seasons, so let's not count them chickens. I thought Mane and Salah, I think they were just the sharpest tools in the box, man. I just think it's like they haven't stopped playing football from last season. Come, it's not school, Benjamin Bruce. It's with this guy.
I don't just want to talk over, man. No, hey. You know what? Talking about those two today, yeah, I'll give you that. One thing annoyed me today, yeah, and there was a point where Salah, for me, should have went on and thing, but he was trying to put him in. It's nice to see
towards the end of the game.
Sometimes,
but do you mind that at 80 plus minutes and you're 3-0 up?
No, I want more. No, you see, the thing is, at the end of the day, don't get me wrong, we're 3-0 up, and he's thinking, oh, I'll try and get my mate in. But really and truly, what you don't want is that, because what was happening last season was Salah was chasing that golden boot, like, innit? The more goals you get now, the better, innit? It's just because you're going to go through phases, innit? Don't get me wrong, I'm not being, we're nitpicking here. Well, I am anyway. We've had a win. But overall, what I'm saying is, I just don't want stuff like that to happen. If we're like 3-0 up and you can get that, you can take that shot on. If he takes that shot on, I ain't mad at him. I'm mad at him when he's trying to take a shot on his right foot and there's three players in front of him and Mane's in the thing. That's when I'm annoyed. But when you're on there, you're on. You've had two assists already. You scored one. Come on, bruv. Take another one. It's not a problem. And you're my captain. God's sake.
I thought I captained Salah at fantasy football, man. And I left it on Grealish, man. Oh, so sad. Go on, Sam.
This is massive, you know. If you're looking for little nuggets, this is something that bodes well for the season, in that they were continually looking for each other to the point of whereby they shouldn't have been looking for each other. And I'd much rather that, considering what we suffered in previous seasons. We won't even call him Salah anymore, you know what I mean? Because he could have gone on and really been greedy if he wanted to be today, but he was looking for his mate. And if they're going to be like that all season, yeah, we're going to be a problem. If anything, which was weird today, was Jota was the guy that wasn't linking well with either side. So it was interesting to kind of see how unselfish both of them were, and how, if I almost feel like if Firmino was playing in that first half, we probably would have been 2 or 3 up, just because Jota's touch was so off. But I'm not going to get into that because it's like both of them have scored.
Yeah, but again, I just feel like you're being a bit harsh on Jota. I think you got to, like, if I have to just choose, yeah, I'd rather you have 10 bad touches in the game, but the best touch you have is the one that puts the ball in the back of the net.
Granted.
Like, that's okay.
That's
I'm okay
fair.
With that. And again,
that's fair, bro. But I just, the fluidity of our team generally starts with the front three and how well they interchange. And for me, he wasn't on the same wavelength at all. And he got his goal, and good for him. But for me, who's been screaming for him to be in the team ahead of Firmino, I was scratching my head at full time, thinking, boy.
Yeah, I'm not happy with what you're saying, because last season everyone was like, Bobby this, Bobby that, and I was fighting the furious. I was behind, like, bam, bam, like, knocking you. You know what I'm saying? And then you lot were coming at me, and then eventually you just piled on top of me. And I was just like, I can't win. And now here you are saying we should have started with...
Maybe.
I know I was right. I know Bobby Firmino. Bobby Firmino has been and will be for a long time to come the man. Everybody says it. Like, he might not score goals, but what he brings to that front three is something else. But at the same time, we need to blood in Jota, and we need fresh blood.
Like,
so, you know, he's
in pre-season. Yeah.
Who,
pre-season
Firmino?
And today, doesn't he suddenly look like he wants to score?
Yeah, I didn't think he didn't look like he wanted to score in the first place. I just think players go through spells where whatever they do just doesn't come off. And I think in pre-season, who was the man that was supplying him? Who was the man that was... Listen, Naby Keita was the man in pre-season. A lot of goals came from him. His press, shutting people down, you know what I'm saying? Winning the ball high up. I'm telling you, man.
I need to see it in games when it matters, though.
No, of course, of course.
That's that. But going the Jota thing, I don't know about you guys, but I felt obviously again it's the first game, but there was something missing. Like because when I've seen him play before, you were getting like, you know, when he first dropped for us, and then there was that point where he was just like, his movement was just mad. Like today, really, the way that goal actually happens, he actually just happens to be in the right place at the right time. That weren't a thing of like
That is part of being a good striker, front player, whatever you want to call it. Being in the right place at the right time.
But what I'm saying is he done that. But other than that, what else did he do? Like, is that
Stu again? Does it matter what he does for 90 minutes if he pops up and scores the opening goal?
No, if you look at it like that, then no, because, I mean, we had people like Rush and Fowler who wouldn't do anything in the game and then get an 89th minute winner. So in that respect, no. I think...
Did you just say the Rush and Fowler?
Yeah, there'd be games. No one's saying all games. I said there would be games where you wouldn't hear their name and then all of a sudden they pop up with a goal. But like I said, like with Jota, I think you saw that he's had a busy, compared to the other two, compared to Mane and Salah, who have had a rest all summer. You saw Jota who looked tired.
He had a busy time in Portugal. He played every minute of Portugal's Euro campaign as well. No,
16, they had a lot of travelling.
Yeah, but they still played more football than the rest of the front.
But let's be real.
Portugal had more travel than any of the other teams in the Euros as well.
Let me just thing in here with this, because this is sounding like we're looking at the man's been overplayed. When really and truly, if you want to talk about what Mane and Salah have done previous, it's a lot more. Because my man was injured for a big part of last season.
We're not talking about last season. I'm not having what you're saying, bruv. We're not going to go back to last season, yeah?
Let's just look at it with fresh eyes, this summer,
Mane was in his village, giving out money and building schools. Yeah, I'm saying Salah was just chilling on some throne somewhere, being the king of Egypt. And poor Jota was traipsing around Europe, following Ronaldo, man. You know what I'm saying?
Jota had a big part of the season off anyway.
When you're coming back from injury, though, that's harder than playing and being fit, no?
What aspect of it?
In the aspect you've got to get up to speed. Look at Virgil today. You know what I'm saying?
Like but their injuries are different, though. Like, what he got, what I'm saying is, he still was able to come back within the season. Thing went out in October the 18th.
Yeah, I know, but what my simple point is, injuries have an effect on your comeback, innit? On your recovery and your comeback and how you play in the games when you come back. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, that's what my point is. And Jota had that. Yeah, he came back before Virgil, whatever, but he had that period where he's out, so he had to get up to speed, blah, blah, blah. Point is, he's probably more tired than out of the whole front four, because I'm including Firmino. He's probably not as tired as Firmino, because Firmino was playing for Brazil.
But Firmino's looking fresh, though.
Mad travelling. Yeah,
I understand. He's the one who's looking fresh.
And he's played enough games, but bruv, I'm finding it. I think it'd be better if we said he might be having a moment, innit? Which is fine.
If he's having a moment and he's knocking him in the back of the net, then let him have his moment, mate. I'll take it. You know what I'm saying? As I mentioned earlier, I did when you mentioned his name, Todd Cantwell, I really like this guy. I don't know what about him, but there's a good player in there waiting to come. I'm not saying he's a bad player, but there's an excellent player in there waiting to come out. I think Norwich is not his level. I think he's capable of playing for top 6-8 team, you know, and Everton even. See what I mean? Like, I think he's special, man. I think he's someone I would like to see Klopp work his magic on. But as we know, we ain't making those signings. So let's talk about that. Obviously, guys, we've been away all summer. We've been quiet. We haven't been putting out shows during the summer because, you know, we all need a break. And I'm sure you probably need a break from seeing our faces on the screen.
Yourself, bro. I've been
but
missing.
Let's talk about... Let's talk about transfers, man. Because ain't nothing going on but the rent, is it, Stu, man?
Nah, but I mean, I thought, you know what, I thought this summer was going to be a good summer transfer-wise when we did our business early with Kanate. I thought, okay, we're getting in early again, like we did a couple of, a few seasons ago when we got Van Dijk in early. Not Van Dijk, sorry. It was it we got in early one summer.
Depends what summer you're talking, boy. Come on, Statman Sam.
A couple of years ago, someone in early, and I thought, okay, yeah, this is going to be a good summer. And we got like a few players in that summer, in that winter.
Fabinho.
Okay. Yeah.
Fabinho.
Yeah.
Straight after the Champions League. Like, we got him in. We knew what we wanted. We knew what we, Klopp or Liverpool, identified where the weaknesses were. It's like, right, we need this, this and this. And then we got that early in the summer. I thought, okay, yeah, but that's how we're going. That's cool. And then, yeah, now I've just seen like haystacks blowing in the wind across everywhere.
What if anything do we need, Bruce?
What? A signing, yeah?
Yeah. Just get comfortable, Bruce. This is the way you
were. Oh. Now, you know what, yeah? I've always said I would like some form of replacement for Winnie, yeah? And people laugh at me because they say to me, but really, you don't need that, because when Thiago was brought in, Winnie was being counted like he was going anyway. But I wanted that, and I wouldn't mind having some sort of cover for either of them two, whether it be Robbo or Trent. And what we got, Nico. Nico's the cover on there, and the Simmer, or however you want to say,
Simmy.
That's the cover. Simmy, that's the cover on the other side.
The Greek Scouser, that they like to call him.
Yeah, I think that's, if that's me, I wouldn't mind having some cover there. Because we were, sorry, go on.
But don't you think we're quite thick in midfield?
In what aspect? Because when you look at it in midfield.
In numbers.
Okay, so when we're looking at it, we're talking about James Milner, Henderson, mm-hmm. Thiago, mm-hmm. Ox, yeah? I'll just use those. Milner gets injured for a decent part of the season. Henderson gets injured. Ox is always injured. Naby breaks a nail and he's out. So what I'm saying there is all these guys that we got in the midfield are not really there. What you are left with, the bones of your midfield, which not bones, but the ones that kind of are there more time. Your Fabinho gets injured, but he's there. Then you'd have like, who else can I call out in there right now? I'm trying to think of the... Curtis been dashed.
Curtis Jones. Yeah, where is he? I didn't see much. He did play. Yeah. Oh, you got a concussion. He did play in pre-season.
Yeah.
But what my point is, yeah, is that I don't think you're ever going to place Wijnaldum, yeah? Wijnaldum's availability is something that is rare. So I don't think we're ever going to get a player like that.
Is good though.
Huh?
The lad at Brighton, his injury things are good though. He's not out a lot.
Ah, you want, is that who you want, Basuma?
What I want is something of that, because what I'm trying to say is, my thing is, I want that guy in there who's going to just be that. I know guys want a midfielder that can score goals, like, yeah? When you actually look at our midfield, how many of our midfield can score goals anyway?
Yeah, goals don't come from our midfield.
Do you get what I'm trying to say? So it's a workman-like thing.
Our midfield's really about, but... I just don't think we need another midfielder. I just feel like every season, the slate gets wiped clean. Klopp does pre-season. He sees how good everybody looks. The things that we're not privy to is what he probably bases his decisions on. And Naby Keita's looked strong all pre-season. Ox was fit. What is he fit? The back end of last season, stay fit through pre-season. Do you see what I mean? So as a manager, you look at it and you think, I've got my boys back. They're looking strong. They're looking fit. Let's roll. Because if you forget their injury records, yeah, just for a minute, those numbers, Henderson, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Milner, Thiago, Fabinho, Keita, that's six midfielders fighting for three, seven, Curtis Jones, fighting for three positions. You'd think, yeah, I'm doing well in that position. I've got a wealth of talent.
That today... When I look at that midfield didn't scare me. Like, if I was the opposition, I wouldn't look at that midfield and say, that scares me. At Norwich, I should look at that and go, we can do something here. But when you put up the thing, like you put up, maybe you put Henderson, Fabs and Thiago, it's a bit like, woof. That's a different midfield now, isn't it? It's a different ball game.
Yeah, but we've got that to come. Isn't it good, though, Sam, that we've got that to come? That midfield of Henderson, Thiago, Fabinho, we've got that to come off the bench.
Yeah, no, I mean, to be fair, talking about the bench, it was beautiful to be able to bring on Fabinho and Firmino, but that's a side note, because that shows that we do have a little bit of strength in depth, maybe in the forward positions at least, and as the number six position. Mm. But to be able to bring on or to be able to start a Thiago, Henderson, Fabinho midfield shows that we have got the numbers. But I kind of agree with Bruce in that a lot of them guys break down throughout the season. None of them are under 25.
You man are not giving them ratings, boy, to stay fit for the season.
The last few seasons where every one of them has been seriously injured for a decent amount of time. And so
I get what you're saying. I just think, doesn't the slate get wiped clean?
Do you know why? Because it only gets wiped clean, yeah, if you stay fit. So, for example, Klopp is never in a hurry to replace Salah or Mane, yeah, specifically, and Firmino, because they're consistent and they always play. Yeah, so he's going to run them till they're dead dogs in the ground, yeah, before he even thinks about it. Yeah, because they're always fit. Do you know what I mean? I saw the clip the other day, Salah's missed four league games in 5 years. That's just crazy.
Yeah.
That's unheard of. Yeah. So if you have that in mind,
yes.
You can apply that theory to the forward players. But to the midfielders, nah. Because there's not one of them, apart from Winnie, who's gone, yeah, who was actually there for a whole solid season. One whole solid season. None of them. And so I understand the need and the want for Bruce to kind of want another midfielder. But in the same respect, having another number in that area means we've got way too many. Because you're discounting Harvey and Jones and Curtis, who are now really auxiliary aides. So I can see where Klopp, other than being broke, I can see why Klopp's kind of thinking, maybe I should just leave it as it is.
But I read something that we've reached our foreign player quota. Mm. So we can't sign anymore. How true it is. I'm always skeptical about when I read things on the internet, but how true that is. If that's true, then that would might explain why we've got, wow, look at that boy. The light bulb dread is standing up.
Doesn't get space for that if we get rid of like Williams or a Phillips or a Shaqiri, for example?
No, because they're homegrown. If we get rid of a foreign player, then I guess you make space. But if you get rid of a Williams or a Phillips, they surely count as homegrown players, no?
Which is why I'm pushing to get Shaqiri out.
I don't think they're pushing Shaqiri out. I think Shaqiri's jumping, if I'm honest.
But I mean, they're not holding him back. They're not.
No, of course not, because he doesn't want to be. They respect him. I mean, and he wants to go. But I think if it was up to, Klopp, I think they would keep Shaqiri. I mean, what a brilliant player to come off the bench. He had a decent Euros as well. I think the Euros showed us what Shaqiri is capable of. And I think that kind of gassed his head a bit, hence why he's angling for a move for like more first team football. But yeah,
we still don't see enough of that in a Liverpool shirt from Shaqiri.
Yeah, but how much does he play in a Liverpool shirt though? That's the thing.
Yeah, but
Coutinho,
top class players. Top class players can turn it on.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, I wouldn't put Shaqiri in that bracket as a top class player though. Wait, hold on, because we have to go back because Beijing Bruce was mumbling. Yeah, he mumbled something like "fuck you," "slap you in the face," "punch you in the balls" type thing. What did you say?
I just threw a name in there, Coutinho.
What? Why would you want to slap me in the face, man? I thought we were friends, my brother.
What, you don't like Coots, no?
I'm just anyone that can down tools at my club and throw their dummy out the pram. I can't. Like, there's always going to be some animosity towards that person. At the end of the day, when I go to work and I'm upset with a colleague or my boss, I can't just say I'm not working and still get paid. So
I didn't really feel that he's super down tools, though.
Come on.
But he did play. He did play, though.
until he feigned the injury.
He did play, man. He played and he played and he played. He played well when he played for us. It weren't like he think because it would affect him if he didn't
Sam,
play well.
Back me up. Did he not feign injury?
My back's hurting me.
Spinal, yeah.
Fuck Coots. Sorry.
Oh, I'd take him back in a heartbeat, bro.
Nah.
I'd take him back in a heartbeat, man.
Stu, you're being coy, man. What are you saying about that guy, Coutinho, man? Sorry, Stu. Are we really having this conversation, Stu? Like, how many... Like, what's this? The third season in a row or something like that we're having this?
Oh, Stu, no, man. Stu.
Asking Stu, is this real? Is this real or should we not just bury this and leave it in a time capsule?
All right. My honest opinion is if Coutinho had been... Like, wherever he's been these last few years, if he'd been playing regular football and doing bits, then, yeah, obviously he'll be like, okay, yeah, we can bring him back. But the fact he hasn't even been playing for anyone else, really, he hasn't been doing anything, it's like, okay, what has he got in his locker at the moment?
If he'd been playing regular football and doing bits, we wouldn't be talking about him because he wouldn't be available. It's because he's been shit for the past, 2 years and hasn't been playing, he's been constantly injured. Like, it's just desperation from us.
No.
Like, to get a brand name back.
But also, he did, like, he went Bayern Munich, he did okay at Bayern.
For half a season.
Yeah, but then that's what I mean, like, he hasn't gone anywhere else since then. Like, he just hasn't done anything.
Make him stay there and rot at a hellhole that he's Barcelona right now, man. Leave him.
Yeah.
It was the peas. There. You know, I tell you something, yeah. Ultimately, them sort of South American players, yeah, where they want to be is Spain, yeah. What we have to do is realize that South American players want to play in Spain, and they want to either play for Barcelona or Real Madrid. Cool. That's where the man wanted to go. The man's gone there, yeah.
Well, you've gone and you fucked up your career. Leave Liverpool and suffer.
Amen to that.
Suarez wanted to do the Suarez did exactly the same thing, but we'd take Suarez back if Suarez was available.
Nah.
Who said that?
You wouldn't take Suarez back, no?
I'd sooner take Fernando Torres back.
So you wouldn't take Suarez back if he well, you'd take Torres. See Torres. Never, bro. The way Torres left was horrible.
It's the same shit.
I'm just saying. It's the same shit. No, you're right. It's the same shit. But I'm saying if I had to pick, you know why? Because, you know, Torres isn't a racist, but that's a whole nother episode.
Okay.
Listen, anyway, people, this is the 14th of August, 2021. This isn't like 14th of August, 2020 or 2019. Yes, we are talking about Coutinho in 2021. Why? I don't know. But certain man.
It's fine.
Want him back. You know what I mean? But. Anyway, let's move on from Coutinho. I think in midfield, I think we got enough. I think injuries, you can't buy players. When you've got 7 or 8 midfielders, you can't then just say, oh, if one of them breaks down. Because what if that new one comes and breaks down? What, do you buy another one? Then you're left 9, 10, 11 midfielders. Do you see what I mean? I get what you lot are saying about injury records, but...
Let me just break something down quickly, though, yeah? Like, so Sam got where I was at with how our midfielders break down. Let's come to why we actually had that many midfielders. We lost out before, I felt, on the league, where we lost out on some injuries with our midfield, yeah? And Klopp realised, fuck, we're a bit short there. So he's obviously then strengthened us in that aspect to the point that if we lose someone, there's someone else who can come in. But at times... That midfield that you end up with on paper might look good, but actually it's not that good in comparison to some of the other midfields that there are in the top six. Do you get what I mean? Depending on what midfield we end up with. Now, what I'm getting to now is the fact that you've got a Matip, yeah, that is not very, is not reliable. Matip is not reliable. Virgil is, it just was unfortunate what happened to him. But Gomez is out a long time. Gomez gets injured for lengthy periods of the season. I don't know if you lot can think to it, but he does. No real fault of his own, because some of these injuries that come about, they're what they are, but he's out a lot. So if he was out again this season, what are we gonna, we're going to rely on the new lad that we've bought, really. And you know how we blood in these guys slowly.
Canate.
So what happens? You're going to end up with a Fabinho being asked to play back at centre-back. Them things there, I'm been scarred, Sim. I'll be honest. I swear, I've been scarred, bro.
I guess I'm built differently because although I do think about the season that has gone, when the new season starts, I kind of just wipe the slate clean. So hence why my opinion on it is a bit different to you guys. See what I'm saying? But
it's good you wiping the slate clean because Robbo's injured already. So.
Boy. Yeah, Bruce, I'm not getting no
enthusiasm. What actually happened?
What's going on, man?
You know what it is? I swear down. It's because that's why I'm vexed because we were short last season. We were supposed to buy a centre back last season. We didn't.
Sure.
And got. We were short, of course, bro. We went into the season with Virgil, Gomez, and Matip. That's what we went into the season with. You can't do that. We were short. So now the man's gone and bought the centre back that we needed. That's fine. But now we've lost someone who always was available in Winnie. So we're going to be slightly... You watch in the midfield, I'm telling you. Unless we don't get no injuries, we'll be short again.
I hope you're wrong.
I hope I'm wrong as well. I actually hope I'm wrong as well. I really do. I hope I'm wrong.
So didn't Sam, Stu, did either of you want to see anything coming up front in the front three position?
I'd love to get an actual striker in. I'd love to get a number nine in. Because I don't think Firmino's a number nine. I don't think Jota's a number nine. But I kind of like...
What? Si, senor.
Yeah, no, that was great today, by the way. That was great. But because I know we're not bringing anyone in, I can't allow myself to get drawn into the rumours or wanting this player, wanting that. I'm just happy the football's back. And like I just think we just kind of... Bruh, that's like a swear word. Where are you going with that? You can't come with that shit on here. Yeah? You see when people like
I'm gonna behave now. I'm gonna behave now.
Yeah?
I'm gonna behave now.
What's wrong with you?
I'm gonna behave now.
That's what I was gonna say to you. That's who we need to get on here, Leo, because he's got so many shouts. People, if you don't know, yeah, every season Leo is the king of shouts. He has about three or four players. Yeah, we should buy this guy, we should buy that guy. He's the king of shouts. And I think right now he's absolutely kicking himself because none of his shouts have even looked like touching the Anfield turf, mate. You know what I mean?
I'd love a striker, bro. It's not that
I don't know, man.
I'm not even getting involved, man. Yeah. I'm happy with our lot. We have to be, man. Unless we shift a good 50 mils worth of players in these next 2 weeks, we ain't buying nobody. So, it's what it is, man. We just got to crack on.
But don't... You know, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry, guys.
Don't be sorry, Benjamin Bruce. Do your thing, bro.
There's no hogging. There's no hogging the thing, man.
You know what's pissing me off? This is what's pissing me off, yeah? We won the Premier League convincingly. We won the Premier League. The season before that, we won the Champions League, yeah? If I go back further with the kind of team we had when we had Studge and that, we actually made a Europa final. What I'm trying to say now is at that point now when we win the league, yeah? That season, I want to see us come in and just top the team up slightly. We didn't. We didn't do it, and then this happens. Now I see Chelsea. They win the Champions League. What do? The season before that, they bought Kai Havertz, Ziyech, Werner in a window. This window now, they just won a Super Cup. They've gone now and bought Lukaku in there. Yeah, but
Chelsea needed a striker because they got an aging Giroud, who's obviously a super sub. No, Giroud's gone now. Yeah, he's gone. But my point is, they had Giroud, who was aging. Tammy Abraham's obviously slept with Tuchel's daughter or something, or his mum, because he just was overlooking him. So then Werner couldn't hit a barn door last season. Granted, he was getting in positions, but yeah, I think he had 20 goals disallowed or some crazy number last season. So they actually really needed a striker. So they haven't topped up their team, Chelsea per se. They have just bought what was missing from last season, a goal scorer.
But wouldn't you say, technically speaking, though, that was Timo Werner's first season. He's a young player. What's to say he ain't going to kick on in this season?
He's not a striker, is he, Werner? He's a wide man, though. He's a wide man. So, yeah, exactly. So he's more of a Mane stroke Salah. So when you're saying Chelsea have gone out on top to their team, no, I disagree. They've just bought what they need, like what they were missing even from last season. Do you get what I'm saying? So I'm not having that. The only team I could say, well, two teams that have topped up their team would be both Manchester clubs. You know, one getting in Sancho, who's obviously a wide man, Do they need another wide man? They got Rashford.
They
got
they
Greenwood.
They actually didn't top up their team. They filled the spot. Dan
James.
They needed a right winger because they had James, and James is no good. So they haven't actually.
True. Really there you go. So
they went for a position they specifically need, and that's our problem. We can't do that because we don't have any spaces.
Because
this is it. We don't have any spaces.
Exactly.
Yeah, forget the money side of things. We actually
Thank
don't
you very
have
much,
spaces.
Sam.
It's only really Winnie you can talk about. We've covered that already in the whole midfield discussion. But we don't have any first team starting spaces, and we ain't going to buy players for big money that are going to come and sit on the bench. I.e., why you had that thing
exactly.
2 years ago trying to buy Pepe and realizing, well, for that money, no thanks, because you ain't going to start. Do you
yes,
know what I mean? So I'm realizing
exactly.
that.
Exactly,
like,
and
I
that
don't
is my
really
point.
Get why no one understands it, and we're going on about.
I've been banging this drum for the longest time, Sam.
But
good players don't want to come and sit on Liverpool's bench. You look at what we're doing here. You want to be a part of that. You're not going to be, let's say, ridiculously Mbappe and come and think, all right, cool, I'm just going to sit behind Mane, Salah, Firmino and Jota. Like,
this,
you're not going to
do
that.
Key.
You're
don't
not going to do
that. Until we sell one of the front three, one of the real name brands in our team, we're not buying a brand name striker. We're not. We're not. So Origi, although he's retired, is going to be our guy. That's it. Like, what don't people get about that? Why are we dreaming over stuff that's not going to happen? Nah.
Tell him again, Sam. Tell him.
I'm not... See, okay, now this is the part that I'm not looking for us to go out and spend 150 million on a Kane or... 100 and God knows what it will cost you to get a Haaland or whatever, or an Mbappe or whoever. What I'm asking for is there's players out there who are on the fringes, and there's players out there who are there and you could buy, like Inter Milan for argument's sake. There's players there you could cop. There's players there you can cop. Sorry, go on.
I'm gonna ask you. Players that come in from those players that you're talking about, Leroy's talking about, they need time to adapt and coaching. So what's the point in buying a player that needs that time, coaching, blah, blah, blah? They're not going to be of the quality, are they, Stu, to fill the gap if a Mane and a Salah are not playing?
No, and also, as you said, I think as you said earlier, like the top players to bring in, like even if it is coming from a club like Inter Milan, like if they're playing first team, like for example, who's the guy that's linked with us and Spurs from Milan, Inter Milan?
Martinez.
Oh yeah, like, yeah. I know. He's
not going to come in to want to sit on the bench, because unless one of that front three are injured, he's going to be sitting on the bench. Like if you're coming from playing week in week out at Inter Milan, who've just won their league as well,
yep.
He's not going to come and sit on the bench.
Exactly.
Like good.
I'm not screaming for our forwards, though.
No, I'm just saying, like good.
No, we're just
good players aren't gonna like good players worth their salt aren't gonna come and sit on the bench. They want to play.
Tell him again, Pastor. Bless him.
Do you know
amen.
What's mad? It's actually upsetting, right? So let's say Martinez was available for 60 mil. Right. We're not gonna go for him. A, we ain't got the money. And B, yeah, he's not gonna replace any of the front three right now. Spurs go for him, pay him, like mash up their transfer budget and pay them whatever they were paying Kane when he leaves. Yeah, he might think, oh shit, Europa Conference, but I'm in the Premier League and I'm getting big money, so maybe I'll go. Do you know what I mean? It's mad, but that's where we are right now. And it's going to be like that until we sell one of our big players.
I think you're right, Sam. That nail on the head, man. There's no actual space for any signings, any big signings. You know what I mean? So... Yeah, look.
Let's stop
beating this drum. I know.
Sorry,
let's stop beating this drum because
sobering thought. I know
we'll go round and round. I think you just gotta accept it.
We're just. I used to be able to sit there and say, like, because I've said for a long time, we're a club that sells to buy. Yeah, that's for me. That's straight facts. But when you get to a stage, when you win yourself a league and you're winning Champions League and Super Cup, World Club Cup, these things there, you got to be throwing down the thingy slightly, man. No, I'm not even talking like smashing cash. Like, we ain't got Man City and Chelsea money, but I want to see us doing other bits, man. We got a manager that can make things happen with certain young players. We've got that. So let's use that. Let's set up a foundation for when this man leaves that will have something in place. we're going to have this that we're going to be left with it. We're going to be left with a team.
Nah, I feel
that's
I feel
going to need all thing. Like, it don't make no sense.
Nah,
to
I feel
me,
I feel what you're saying there, Bruce. And I feel like we're doing that. I feel with the way we're setting up with the new training ground, everyone under the same roof. I think when Klopp leaves, there's going to be a way of doing things in place. I'm trying to think of the right words. Forgive me, they're escaping me. But there's going to be an ethos of the, like a club, the way the club structure. Yeah.
There's going to be continuity as well.
Yeah.
And I think also.
Yeah,
think
exactly.
In
we hope.
Group, the building of or the redoing of Annie Road as well. That's where a lot of the money's gone. Then after that, they're going to start building again because they want to increase the capacity again after that. So a lot of money's going in there. And but then the thing is, as much as we want to buy all these big players, buy like compete money-wise with Chelsea and City, we're actually being run like well as a club.
I think so too.
One of the only two clubs in the Premier League that are self-funded at the moment, us and Leicester. And Leicester have done the same thing with theirs. Like, they've put their new training facility as well.
So, just highlighting that really quickly. Leicester City are a team, their manager, I'm not very fond of, yeah? However, I'll say it as it is. But basically, to me, that team is doing things the right way. Like, no one can deny the way that club is doing their stuff is not right. So, for argument's sake, Fofana gets injured. Horrible injury. I don't know if you guys all see any of you guys
yeah,
seen it.
You haven't seen it, but I know. Yeah.
He's out. What do? Immediately. Bam. Hello, Southampton. What are you saying with my man?
I'm sure, Bruce, if we had something like that happen, touch wood, God forbid... We would go out and replace.
Yeah, we did. We went and got Ben Davis. We went and got Kabat. That's what we done. Ben Davis didn't play. Now we're looking to shot him or loan him to Sheffield United.
Yeah, but that was...
And the young man still played. But that is what we done.
You know, I don't want to keep going on this. I feel like we did this a lot.
This is this season.
Yeah, but do you know what it is though? Yeah, with Ben, you're gonna make me do it with Ben Davis, yeah, and Kabak, yeah. That's all we could afford at the time in such short notice. That's all that was available to us at the time. So we got what was available to us. Everyone keeps looking to these, like, who did you want to get at the time?
No, but
like,
Konate
was obviously someone that was on the radar at the time.
Also in the salary window, that's the worst time to buy a player as well because everyone's hiking.
Exactly.
We were short at the beginning of the season. Yeah, no. That's what my point is. We were missing a centre back, so that's what we caused that problem. We went in short, hoping no one got injured. They got injured,
Every season, though. You do that every season. You have your team. You might even buy players. You hope people don't get injured. That's a normal thing.
No, because the way we're positioned right now, centre back wise, we're in a better position.
Hold on, Bruce. Go and say against
you. Also, you have to look at the type of the injuries. They were freak injuries, like losing two players for the season, like that in the same position. That hardly happens ever.
That'll mash up anyone, Bruce, man.
Can I just say one thing? Because it doesn't seem to be thinging. Gomez gets injured for long periods of time and Matip never lasts. So we went into a season with three centre-backs and two of which get injured. I don't get it. Of course, in January, you're going to struggle and you're going to pay over the odds for people, but we were short. So I keep trying to say, bruv, I don't expect us to do what Man City done when Mendy and Stones got injured. They just jumped on a plane and flew out and bought Laporte for no problem. I know we don't have that cash, but can we be sensible and put ourselves in a position that we're not going to leave ourselves super short? So this season, it would have to be a madness where all them mans get injured this time round. I'll go, well, that's just really, really bad luck. But the last time round, we could at least give ourselves a shot. Like, we went out and we got this Kabat and Ben Davis, but still used the other two in Phillips and Fink because they were actually better than Davis. Nah, man. In that sense, I don't like the way we're run like that. It makes us look Mickey Mouse. How are Leicester doing business like what they're doing, bruv? It's actually wild. They're actually doing bits, bruv. It's not nice, man. And they okay. crumble. Anyway, I'm going to shut up now.
Hey, as you can tell, people, Bayesian Bruce is not happy.
Match day
but
one.
You know what? I'm going to put a lid.
Match day one,
you know. I'm going to put a lid on the transfers thing, close that, and put that in the cupboard. You know what I'm saying? Because, boy, it's a touchy subject.
I don't like seeing Bayesian Bruce upset like this, you know. It's only the first pod back.
I know, man. Can you imagine what it's going to be like in like 5 or 6 weeks' time, boy? Jesus.
If we had lost today, it would have been even worse for them, I'll be honest.
Oh, man. Anyway, listen, boys. It's good to be back, man. It's good to be back. Good to have football back. Good to see fans back in the stadium. Home game next week against Burnley. I'm sure Anfield is going to be absolutely rocking. And, yeah, man. Let's hope we do the business because obviously Burnley turned us over at home last season.
<He did.
laughs> that's a better question, isn't it? So yeah, man, it started off well. Let's hope it stays that way. But lads, time flies when you're having fun, and that is us.
Oh wait, sorry.
So wrap this up.
Sorry, one man of the matches, man of the match for today.
There's always one. You want to give him?
Who are you giving it to?
No, I say who's everyone's man of the match for today.
You go first then. Come on then, go first.
Well, for me, before he got his goal, I was going to say Trent was man of the match today. But I think because he got his goal and he got the assist, it's tight between him and Mo.
Him and Mo. Okay, fair dues. I thought Trent's game was pretty average today. It wasn't special.
No,
but
yeah. I thought Trent played well today.
No, I'm not saying he played badly, but he could play better than what he played today, in my opinion. But you know what I mean? That's all. Go on, Sam.
I'm going to give it to the Greek. If the game is 75 minutes, that is. Because after then, he was just finished up.
But, yeah!
I'm going to give it to the Greek.
Simicast.
Delivery from the left. He's running with the ball. I hope he smartens up a bit, because he does seem a bit stupid at times. With his decision-making when he's in defence.
He looks dopey.
Yeah, he just doesn't look like he's that bright. But... yeah, you know, for him to get his first start and first game of the season, I'm happy for him, and I think he played really well, so I'm going to give it to him.
Bayesian Bruce?
Mo.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like it's too easy to give it to Mo because he got two assists, well, one and a half assists and a goal. I feel like, meh, that's just, yeah, whatever. I would give it to Naby Keita, but I just need to see a little bit more. But I'm going to give it to Mane. I just think he was sharp. I think his relationship with Robertson on the left is excellent, and I feel like with Tsimikas, I could see the makings of a good relationship there. His runs today, I just think, yeah, man, Mane was for me the man. I just think he was just missing
was
that goal.
His hair's grown back as well. Like, I think we need to respect it. Like, since he got that transfer,
what? That trim was fresh, and that line was sharp as
there
well,
now,
boy.
Like, Jericho's gonna be back soon, and all sorts. Like, big up Mane, man.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, man. He needs to let me know his surgeon, boy, so I can pay for a treatment for you, Sam.
Bring it. I'm ready to go.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Anyway, let's wrap this up. Until the next time, people. Been your boy Slim as always. Bayesian Bruce, thank you very much. Pastor Stu. Engineer Sam, you are now full-time employed, so get to work. This pod needs to be out by tomorrow. Until the next time, people.